now that we've all turned 13,
at least 13,
it's time to set out to answer the one question that movies make you ask. And that's, is this movie better or worse than Vin Diesel's 2005 seminal masterpiece, The Pacifier? Which is what we do here on No Highway Option. And I'm Luke, I'm one of your hosts, and my favorite delivery service is, we're going to say Uber Eats today.
I'm Connor J. Burke, I'm another one of your hosts. I was going to say I don't have a favorite delivery service, but my least favorite is Uber Eats. Because when I tried to order from them once, I watched on the map the guy pulled into the restaurant, started to pull out, and then it canceled the order, and I was like, this son of a bitch just ate my chicken. But that's why I don't like them.
Amazing. If you're listening, son of a bitch, did you eat the chicken? Call in. Let us know.
Yeah, let us know. Call our number. We'll say it at the end.
Yeah. We have a special guest with us today. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. I'm Patrick Hotner. I guess my favorite delivery service is Seamless. I use Seamless the most, so I guess it's my favorite. I don't know if that's... Nice. Is that even a delivery service, though?
I think so.
I mean, it's how I order delivery, but the delivery guy is usually from the restaurant, you know?
It's... Yeah, I mean, it counts. Middleman works.
It counts. Okay, then it's... let me... Here, I'll take that again. I'm Patrick Connor, and my favorite delivery service is Seamless.
There you go.
There nice. You go.
And if you guys couldn't tell, the movie that we watched this week is Kiki's Delivery Service, given to us by last week's guests, Jason Mountain and Jade Bartlett.
Over on our Instagram Coming Attractions game, it's a point of contention this week because past and future guest, friend of the show, roommate of half of the show so far, Chris Benicki, he said Kinkle's distribution solution, which is kind of it, but it's not, but whatever. I guess good job, Chris, I guess. Follow us on our Instagram at No Highway Pod, where the first Sunday of every month, you get a whole bunch of picture clues that hint towards the upcoming movies, and you have the chance to guess. And if you get it right, you get a shout out on the show, just like this one. The month of April has had some very interesting answers to the clues, which I'm enjoying reading them quite a lot. Anyway, back to Kiki's Delivery Service. Real fun episode.
Do you guys have a history with this movie?
So I actually watched it for the first time last year when HBO Max dropped and I did the trial subscription that I still haven't ended and I'm paying for. I like animation, but I never really got into the Ghibli stuff. And so I wanted to try to get through most of them. I end up getting through like this, Totoro, Ponyo, and Spirited Away, and then I need to jump back on the train. But this is my second time watching it.
Right on.
Yeah, I had I watched this for the first time, I guess, about an hour and 45 minutes ago I started it, and then I finished about 10 minutes ago. I'd seen Spirited Away. I saw that in a theater. I saw it at the Museum Moving Image, I guess, like,
oh, nice.
A year and a half ago. It was, like, one of the last movies I saw in the theater. And then I saw Totoro when HBO Max launched. I watched that. Same. I like animation. I never really got into Ghibli. I enjoy them. I mean, this is a bigger conversation. This is a bigger conversation. We can table it, or
it.
I could say, okay. Spirited Away I saw with the subtitles. The other two I saw dubbed.
Okay.
And the dubs are tough because a lot of the line readings they try to cram into the mouths moving.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them don't speak naturally. They'll just keep talking right away, and then there'll be a break, and then they'll finish the sentence. It's just like it's a very interesting thing to try to like get used to as you're watching the movie.
Yeah,
you know?
That
there
makes
was
a lot of sense.
At least one in here where she just did a really long like a and it was just because the mouth was open.
Yeah.
I think it was when she's talking about eating nothing but pancakes, and she goes fat, fat, fat. Which, like, I found funny, but I understand that
right.
It's a little messy.
Yeah. It's, I don't know which one I like. I mean, if I had had if I'd given myself more time instead of watching the Snyder Cut today, I would have maybe watched both options, but I did not do that.
That's on the docket for tomorrow for a bonus episode of this show.
Oh, good, 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 good. I'd seen Batman v Superman, and I saw the Joss cut in theaters.
Mm.
Didn't really remember either of them. So I watched this week, yesterday, I watched Batman v Superman and the Joss Whedon Justice League. And then today I watched the Snyder Cut. So it's been a lot.
Well, we're glad we could give you Pacifier and Kiki as little palate cleansers between all that.
Yes,
yes, it's something that is, if nothing else, a change.
Yes, yeah. My letterbox is very chaotic, how it's just like Batman v Superman, Justice League, Pacifier, Zack Snyder's Justice League, Kiki's Delivery Service. That's the last like 2 days of my Letterboxd.
I never actually used Letterboxd. I know Connor logs everything we watch on his.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do it mostly just for like, I don't know why I do it, because I also keep a separate list. I think I do it just like for posterity's sake, just so I can like go back and look. But like, I don't really use it. My roommate pays for the, like, you know, the, whatever the, you like, get when you actually, yeah. And at the end of the year, they'll be like, here's your top director, here's your the actor you watch the most, here's all this stuff. And I'm like, I would like that, but I don't think it's worth $20 a year.
That's money.
Yeah.
It won't pay $20 just to be like, oh, I did watch a lot of Frank Oz movies. Yeah. Moving on.
Here's last year, Kevin Smith was on the George Lucas Talk Show last year, so we watched all of the Kevin Smith movies, and we're also watching every movie, every theatrically released movie on Disney Plus in chronological order, which is
really
insane. Yeah,
wow.
We're on 2014.
Wow,
we've gotten very far.
yeah, you moved pretty far
through that.
So I assume it's mine too. Our top director was Kevin Smith. And then our top actor was Jim Cummings, who is just, like, a voice actor who's in a bunch of Disney stuff.
Yeah, he's Boo.
It's a deep love of Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, man, that 2011 movie is incredible.
It's good. But it's good.
And
anyway. Is that the one with Ewan McGregor?
Is that no,
that's Christopher Robin.
Ah, okay.
This is like 2011
Winnie the Pooh's just traditional animated. Zooey Deschanel does the theme song.
Mm, yeah.
It's real sweet. I saw it in theaters, and I will always stump for it.
And it's a sweet, sweet 63 minutes long.
Yep.
Which, if you've got a lot of
barely
long
a feature.
Ones,
yeah. Anyway, Kiki.
Anyway, what we watched today was Kiki's Delivery Service.
Yes.
Did you have a history with it, Luke? You didn't mention.
I had not seen this one until I started it 3.5 hours ago. I watched the first hour, and then she started talking about, she was standing at the desk, and she was talking about how it was so boring at work, and I was like snuggled up in my blanket, and I fell asleep for the end of the movie, so I had to start it again there and watch the last hour.
That happened to me the first time I watched it, pretty much right when she was like depressed about losing her powers, and then went to go see the old ladies. I passed out and woke up, and I was like, Tombo's on a string? What the fuck is happening?
And I was like saying, the magic was gone and stuff. I was like, oh yeah, she talks to a cat, and Chris and Savannah were sitting here, and they were like, you lost her powers. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's just squawking at birds.
So yeah, Kiki is a nice little witch, and when she turned 13, all witches have to go on basically witch Rumspringa. Is it offensive to call it that?
I'm glad you said that, because that's what I was thinking.
I mean, that's what it is, right?
Yeah, it's a years long witch journey.
I don't know enough about Rumspringa to join in this conversation, but it sounds right. It sounds
right. I just go into school around the Amish country. That's like vaguely what we got from it.
Yeah,
she's a witch. She's got her cat, Gigi. He's voiced by Phil Hartman. It's great to hear Phil Hartman.
There were times where I thought he could have been, what's the guy's name from the Talking Cat movie?
Oh, God, him? Eric Roberts?
Yeah!
Oh, no. No.
Now, was this, not to make this a downer, but did this come out after he died? I think it did. I'm looking right now.
It was in production, and apparently he wasn't able to completely finish the dub because of his death.
Oh, wow. Now, do we think that's part of the cat not talking any longer, or
no? That's the original story.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was just a dub. Go ahead.
Yeah, apparently, she stops being able to understand him because she's growing up.
Mm-hmm.
That's like apparently a logical thing in like the lore of it.
The lore.
Yeah, there's a lot of lore. I think it's based off a book, but
interesting.
Yeah.
I think the Ghibli universe of movies, and I'll echo what you guys already said, I never really got into them when I was younger, but it's a cool thing. Like, I can I appreciate it from afar, and I liked Spirited Away as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And the artistry is really nice.
Yeah.
Like, any just blue sky with cloud shot is just, like, gives you a nice little warm feeling.
Yeah, I think Spirited Away is definitely my top of the three that I've seen. I think that's the one I've enjoyed the most, and that might just be because I saw it in the movie theater. You know, I feel like you get a different experience out of it, but yeah, that's my guess.
As much as I do love this one and Spirited Away, I think my top's got to be Ponyo. Maybe it's because it's the first one I watched, but like, it's just two little friends and one's a fish.
Yeah.
Is there a Jonas brother in that?
Yeah, Frankie.
Okay. Oh, the bonus.
Yeah, the bonus Jonas, exactly.
That's all I knew about that one.
It's the Little Mermaid, but weirder.
Huh. I remember when that came out. Noah Cyrus. I thought it was Miley Cyrus. I'm looking at the cast.
Yeah.
I'll say this. This is a pretty good cast on Ponyo.
You got Tina Fey, Liam Neeson.
Matt Damon, Cate Blanchett, Lily Tomlin, wow. Betty White, Cloris Leachman. This is a pretty stacked cast, guys.
It's pretty stacked.
I might have to check that out.
You gotta check out Ponyo.
Yeah. And Frankie Jonas. And good old Frankie Jonas bringing up the
tying
top.
Tying it all together.
Bringing it together.
Frankie Jonas is the bow on top.
Uh-huh.
Kiki goes off on her little adventure. She's going to a city. She meets... Who is this purple witch? The one
character
who's
I felt certain was going to come back.
Yeah, they kind of set up love... I just have her in my notes as Love Fortune's bitch, because she's kind of a bitch.
Now, I believe, is this Senior Witch, probably?
I think so.
I'm looking at the cast list.
14, yeah.
Yeah.
I would guess
she's
done
with her Rumspringa year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's going back down to her town where there's a Moulin Rouge.
Yes. Voiced by Jimmy Neutron herself, Debbie Derryberry.
Oh, that's who that was. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of voices, this is kind of ahead of where we are, but the little kid who gets the cat doll, that's Ashley Spinelli from Recess, right?
Ashley Spinelli, Bobby Hill, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pamela Segal.
No, because that's Pamela Adlon. Oh, yeah.
Adlon, yeah.
Maiden name I think is Seagal. Sorry about that. Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's what Wikipedia is saying to me.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's the first time I watched this. I was like, there are so many just Fox Sunday Night voices to me in this, because Asono is Tress McNeil.
Yeah,
and you have Gigi as Phil Hartman. So I'm like, super weird how Lindsay Nagel sends a witch and Troy McClure on an errand for Bobby Hill. Like, just that's what I hear, and I'm. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, it's a fascinating cast list, because it's a lot of like really established actors and then just like real like working man voice actors.
Mm-hmm.
Like you get like Brad Garrett and like Kirsten Dunst and Jeanine Garofalo, but then you also get like Corey Burton and Christine Cavanaugh and like Mary Kay Bergman, just like people who pop up in everything as, you know, 27 different characters.
Yeah, most of them are very well-known names, either in the voice acting circuit or just regular acting circuit.
Yeah.
And then Tombo is the guy from Boy Meets World.
Yes, Matthew Lawrence. Yes.
Yeah. He, the character gave me some Rick Moranis vibes.
Mm.
Is that solely because of the glasses?
I mean, the glasses didn't hurt.
See, it was
and
given,
the invention.
It was giving me big Gethard vibes, big Chris Gethard vibes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was Chris
Gethard or Griffin McElroy.
Yes. Yes.
Are like, they're the two that look like him. Although I do think he is the most stylish character in all of cinema. He's got that striped shirt with the little yellow sweater thing. Mm-hmm. He's got his loose pink shirt. Like, he's a fashion icon, and I want to I want to raid his closet, I guess.
He's got good pants.
Is he wearing do they tie into a bow, or is that a belt?
I'm re-looking at it.
I think they might just be too big, and he just has, like, a really tight belt.
Yeah. Now, here's the other thing.
Google Tombow pants.
Now, Kiki dressed just like Matilda.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was bothering me the entire movie. I was like, what is this that she looks like? And then I was like, oh, it's Mara Wilson. She looks just like Mara Wilson as Matilda.
Yeah, she's got like the navy blue and the big red bow.
Yeah.
That just blew my mind a little bit.
I thought she could have used a pair of pants.
Yes. Especially when she's on that broom.
Yeah, more than a few shots, I'm like, this is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with it. Like, I understand it's innocent, like she's wearing shorts, but
just even practically, it seems like you're flying around all the time. It's
But this is set in like the 1950s. What, 10s?
I don't know. I had a question.
I looked and it said 50s.
50s, okay.
Yeah.
That's 1910 was in my head, because apparently this is an alternate reality where World War I never happened.
Oh, cool. I love when they talk about that in the movie.
Yeah, right?
Isn't it great how Archduke Franz Ferdinand is still alive when they say that? And then
she has to deliver something to him.
It was just a one-off line from a character in the bread store.
Yeah, apparently Hayao has been quoted saying, Hayao, like we're on a first name basis, Hayao Miyazaki has said World War One or Two has never happened, and the fictional city of Koriko, which is where Kiki spends her year, has one side on the shores of the Mediterranean and the other on the Baltic Sea.
Okay.
We'll take it.
Yeah, sure. I don't know cartography well enough, but like, I guess it's a big city.
I have a witch question for you guys.
Yeah.
This is something I was thinking about, and I don't know, maybe you're going to bring this up later, but I don't think you are. Why can witches fly on anything else, or do they have to be brooms? Like, what about the broom makes it so she can fly? Could it be a mop? Could it be a tree branch?
And like, did the brooms not start as trees if they're made of wood?
Great question.
So
a lot of great questions.
Where does the magic lie?
Yes.
Is it because that's second broom. I was wondering it before, but then the second broom happened, and the second broom clearly didn't work as good as the original.
Yeah.
Mm.
But then I saw someone holding a mop, and I was like, could she get on that? Would that work better?
Yeah. Maybe it would be a little slipperier with the steering, like slipping around on water.
But if it's in the bristles, then those are longer. Those are closer to the broom that she had at first.
Yeah, the bristles do explode in the second one. Like, they pop out when she fly. I don't know. I thought the question was going to be, why does only town only need one witch?
No.
You can only have one witch per town, and that's it.
No, that's dumb question. Why would you even think that? What I was asking is, can she fly on a mop?
Broom physics actually I think made my criteria.
Oh, good.
So I'm glad we brought it up.
Good. Yeah, I do like when she leaves in the beginning, her mom is like, I wish you would use my broom, it steers better. It's like, what do you mean it steers better?
And the first immediate thing she does is fly into a tree.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which she apparently does often, because someone mentions they'll miss the bells that she hits.
Yeah. It seems like maybe you can't train for all of it, but if you have the brooms and you have the ability to fly, shouldn't you be a good flyer before you leave?
Hypothetically, hey, but man, like,
you're
she's
bringing
good.
Up everything good. Yeah.
Yeah. But and then maybe the mom is not that good of a flyer either, because she is more of a sort of plant scientist.
Mm-hmm. Potions witch.
Yeah.
She mentioned she specifies in potions, because I guess all the witches have a thing like love fortune bitch that we meet and potions mom, he never finds her thing. Which feels like it could have been a plot point, but then wasn't. Or is her thing flying and delivery? I don't know.
Well, she has that whole arc with the lady with the chicken nugget shaped head later about like finding your what drives you inside. And I don't know if that's tied to her thing. Her thing is like her spirit, maybe.
I would be really bummed though if I was a witch and they're like, you're gonna figure out your thing. You're just about that age where we like start to figure out what really is like, you know, the thing that makes you special, and then you're like, I'm really good at delivering stuff.
Yeah. your thing is telling people's fortunes, your thing is turning things into animals, my thing is USPS. I'm distracted by Chicken Nugget Head. Are you talking Osono or Ursula? Young or old?
The painting one, not the old lady.
Ursula.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, I'm bad at names.
Yeah, I know, but that's why it was confusing.
There was a lot of interesting head stuff.
It is a chicken nugget head. I just Googled it, and now it's all I see.
You're right. I hate that you're right, but you're right.
No.
Well, right from the beginning, I was fixated on... I know that this is back in 89, and... I obviously know nothing about animation, so I don't know how things have progressed. But it seemed like there was like a lapse in drawing the forehead and hair area was where we ran into something. So everybody had, if you look even from like, Kiki has a lot of forehead, and when the hair moves certain ways, it doesn't cover it right. And like her dad has like a Frankenstein forehead, kind of.
Yeah,
and some of the other kids they meet also, you notice their forehead a lot. And I thought that was interesting.
That's really
maybe
funny.
That's a Miyazaki staple.
Maybe, but I don't. I guess I haven't seen enough to know.
Yeah. I got to get through the entire filmography to and have forehead notes for all of them.
People are gonna be listening to this shouting into their iPods. They all have big foreheads. Just like, you idiots!
You fools!
The chicken nugget.
Haven't
shape
you listened
is to
his
her?
Many talks?
Yeah.
Apparently, this is nothing to do with the plot, but apparently, there's a musical of this in Japan, which I find very interesting.
Of this one specifically?
I believe so. I know that there has been a live action remake of it, but that's based off the book.
I think the beats translate to like a musical structure for sure.
I think it could work really well. Yeah, it ran in 1993, 95, and 96. There is a cast recording somewhere online, but it's probably in Japanese.
Also the theme park's coming soon.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, who knows now when it's going to open, but I imagine there's probably something for... Oh, here we go. Witch Valley is inspired by the wastelands in the film Kiki's Delivery Service in Howl's Moving Castle. It's thought the land will include restaurants and amusement facilities. There will be a replica of the castle itself and Karikia, the home of Kiki and her parents.
Interesting. They'd cross those two over like that.
Yeah.
Well, that was another question I had was, is there any crossover between the movies? Like, is there any kind of people think that any of it's in the same universe kind of thing?
If you look online, you'll probably find that somewhere, because everything's a universe somehow.
Yeah.
But like the friggin' Coming to America shares a universe with Trading Places, apparently.
I mean, Coming to America 1 shares a universe with Trading Places. So
then it's same and same.
So that's why. Yeah. I'm looking online, and again, I feel like people are going to be mad that we don't know all of this. It doesn't seem like it. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of crossover stuff. I don't know. He also feels like the guy who maybe would like hate that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Where he's like, no, they're all their own stories. What are you talking? There was an interview with him, I think that came out a few days ago that I was reading, that people were like, are you going to finish that movie that you're working on? And he's like, I'm retired. all I do is pick up trash now. Leave me alone. I go into the I go into the workshop and I pick up trash and I leave. I don't want to finish stuff. And the person was like, okay, thank you. I just wanted to ask.
Sorry, I brought it up.
Yeah.
Did you hear the context of why he gave that answer specifically?
No.
Because he was just out on the side of the road picking up trash and someone was like, holy shit, Hayao Miyazaki, talk to me.
That's
and he was
funny.
Like, I am a grouchy old man. Please leave.
I mean, he's earned it.
He has.
Really funny.
And like the stuff he makes is beautiful and it's artistic and he has the best reaction to CGI, I think, ever. Have you ever heard this, Luke?
Nope.
Someone showed him a CGI, I think it's a zombie animation, and he said this is an affront to human life itself.
He feels like he fits in that like Werner Herzog camp of just like you show him something like about the world changing and he will either love it and completely embrace it to like a weird amount where it's like when Werner Herzog saw Baby Yoda and he was just like, this is the best thing that has ever happened in the face of humanity. Or like, this is terrible. Get it away from me. I never want to see it again. Right, it feels like a very similar thing.
Yeah. Wasn't he calling Lucasfilm cowards when they were like, yeah, we're just going to CG over the puppies. Like, you absolute cowards.
It's so funny. I love
it. You can never let this not be seen.
Yeah.
Also, as we talked about earlier, the subs versus dubs thing. There's a weird obvious change in the dub that I noticed when Osono, who is a nice baker lady who Kiki meets and starts working for, makes her coffee, and it's obviously coffee because it's like the grounds and Kiki's putting sugar cubes in it and everything, but they say hot chocolate.
Hmm.
I found that weird.
Hmm.
That was like the only one I noticed.
I wonder if it's because maybe children drinking coffee is more of a normal thing in Japan, maybe?
That sounds right. And, like, since Disney was the one who did the dub, they probably wanted to discourage that, which is strange.
Maybe.
But, you know,
There's a whole section on the Wikipedia about, like, differences between the two versions. It says like I'm just like pulling one sentence. In Japanese culture, cats are usually depicted with feminine voices, where in American culture their voices are more gender specific. Interesting.
Strange.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was Phil Hartman. I love Phil Hartman, and he, while he's kind of like a sarcastic and kind of cynical voice, he does have enough moments of, like, pure joy, like, when he's in the shop and he sees the little black cat on the mug and he's like, hey, look, it's me! Like, that worked perfectly.
It had to balance out all of the complaining and the rest of it.
He does complain a lot.
Yeah.
He is great, though, and it is always... It's nice when you feel like you've seen everything that an actor has done, or, like, the majority of stuff, and you're like, oh my gosh, there's another movie I get to watch with them in it. And I feel like he's one of those people where, like, even if you feel like you've seen it all, like, whenever he pops up in something else, you get so excited because you know it's, like, one of only a few things that he's in. You know, there's only, like, a finite amount of things that he's in.
Yeah. I mean, this is his second appearance on this podcast after Jingle All the Way.
Love of my life, Jingle All the Way. I love it.
A fantastic film.
Hey, where did you guys end up on that one? Is it better?
I think all four of us gave it better.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm not tipping
it. Doesn't
hat.
Happen very often.
Yeah, okay. It's been a few months since I've listened to it, but I think that's where it ended up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm watching you guys.
That's enough to stick around.
So Kiki starts her delivery service. She meets Tombo, a young boy who's very interested in her because she can fly, and he is part of the Aviators Club, and he's, you know, really into planes. He builds himself a bicycle plane, which the first time I saw it, I was like, that's super cool. It's like a propeller in front of a bike. That's awesome. And then I was like, this is the worst thing to flip over the handlebars with. Like, this is actually a death machine.
And yeah. You see how easily those the propeller gets taken off of it.
Mm.
Right? It's like flying through the air at one point, where it's just like, if it comes off that easy, I want to be nowhere near it.
Especially if it's moving that fast when it does.
Yeah, no thanks.
It did seem like peak kid idea, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I put a propeller to the front of my bike, like, biplanes have propellers in the front, so
yeah.
My bike should have a propeller in the front. That just works.
It was just as thought out.
There's also, they continually hint at a blimp. Every news report, every TV thing is just, there's gonna be a blimp. Aren't you all excited for the blimp? Remember the blimp. Act 3 is a blimp.
I had that note. Towards the beginning, I was like, gee, I wonder if the blimp is gonna show up.
Blimps are great. And my roommate and I were watching it, and we watched Last Crusade pretty recently. And there's, you know, a big blimp in that, too. So it was very nice. When you're watching a blimp movie, you can only think to yourself, like, I want more blimps. Why can't we get more blimps in real life?
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've ever seen a media depiction of a blimp that doesn't end in a fiery crash.
Sure. Have you ever seen a blimp?
The Goodyear blimp before a sports match?
Yeah, that counts. Luke?
I don't think I've ever seen a blimp in real life.
I saw Conan came back to New York maybe 10 years ago to do shows, and they had a bright orange Conan blimp flying all over the city, like, you know, obviously higher than the city. But there was like a week where whenever you went outside, you were like, there it is. How are they still there? Like, he's here still.
Man, I was 10 years too late for the Conan blimp.
Yeah, you missed out.
Do it again, Conan. Come back.
He's got a podcast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that means he has to listen to everyone.
Will that bring us a blimp?
Yeah. Should we start a Patreon just for a blimp?
Yeah. Now, what do we do with the blimp, though? Like, do we stand in the blimp and we, like, throw DVDs of the pacifier out?
Pacifier DVDs are vaguely affordable on the Disney Store's website.
Yeah,
I think they're like $15.
I'm sure eBay you can get them very cheap.
That too.
Yeah.
Well,
I've thought about
doing it. We have our Patreon. You've thought about doing this specific thing?
No, I've thought about doing a, like, contest where we give away a DVD of the pacifier, but we can talk about that later.
I mean, here's the thing. There's 474 copies of the pacifier on DVD on eBay, and you can buy the cheapest one for $2.89.
All right. So good to know.
We could make that happen for relatively low input.
We can talk about this later. Now it's time to talk about Kiki.
We're doing it. We're weaving it out.
Yeah, no, we are.
We're delivering it.
Heh. This is another one of those. I feel like we've had a few of these episodes where we end up not talking about the movie, but every time we go back to the movie, we're like, we do like it. It is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say it's you know, empirically good. There's not a ton to talk about in it, where it's like, it looks nice. The voice acting is, you know, you got everyone at the top of their game. Whether or not the dub is effective or not is a different story, I think. But you can't say it's a bad cast. You can't say it doesn't look good.
Right.
You can't say it doesn't have a blimp in it. It has a blimp in it.
That's all you need.
It checks that box.
Yeah. I can't believe that girl told her to turn off the radio when they were flying through the sky.
Yeah.
Let her listen to the radio. You know what I mean?
You're not going to be flying together forever. You're just going to pass through.
Yeah. Let her listen.
But I don't know. She had Miss Snooty Cat with her.
It's true.
Yeah. She was a strange one-off.
Yeah.
Even if there had been other witches that also weren't nice to her that she passed on the way to the town, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was looking for something else. Or if she had come back as a villain, I guess.
But there's no villain. There's no villain in this, which is kind of nice.
There's the blimp.
Yeah, I guess the villain is God with his
wind.
Gusts of wind.
Yeah.
Or whoever the wind spirit is.
I'll say this. the group Concerned Women for America boycotted this movie when it came out.
Really?
They released a press release that said, Disney reverts to witchcraft in Japanese animation. They say the company is still not family friendly, but it continues to have a dark agenda. And I think this is the wildest movie to boycott because it's like so gentle and so like just relaxing.
And the message for kids is, hey, go get a job. You're never too early to start working. Like, it's fine.
Yes.
You could, honestly, you could take the whole witch component out of it. She could do all the same stuff, and you could never say the word witch. I mean, would not impact anything.
Yeah, you could just make her broomstick like a motorcycle, a bicycle, or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, she doesn't do any, like, hocus-pocus magic.
No.
Her magic is making friends and baking, what was it, herring and pumpkin pot pies?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Doesn't sound great.
Which, is that a translation? Or is that... Those ingredients shouldn't be in there mingling.
That I sounds feel like a very, like, British dish.
I also feel like it's too specific not to be a translation.
That's true.
Like, that's not something you just make up. Where you're like... well, it was pumpkin, but let's change it to this. Like,
toss a herring in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Googling herring and pumpkin pot pie is solely make the thing from Kiki's Delivery Service recipes.
Maybe it's one of those things that, like, just is, I don't know, it's one of those weird flavor combinations that works.
Yeah, I mean, it's a protein and a... Pumpkins are fruit, right?
Yeah, are they fruit or vegetable? Yeah, I think they're fruit.
It's yeah.
But yeah, wait, fruit.
I think so.
But then all of these recipes have you also drawing a fish on top, which I think is weird.
That's putting a little too much icing on the cake.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't ever want to try this.
No. I feel bad when she delivers it to the girl for the birthday and she's like, I hate grandma's stupid pies that she spends so much time on, but like, it does sound gross.
Yeah. It sounds awful. Like,
yeah.
Very conflicted with that.
Yeah. Sometimes kids are right, you know, and that's important.
That's true.
It's an important thing to keep in mind.
Even if they come at it mean,
uh-huh,
they're still right. Uh-huh. I also thought it was strange that the grandmother thought that oven wouldn't work.
Mm.
Because it's just like a wood fire oven.
Yeah, but you know? I mean, too old to get the wood.
That's fair. That's... And her friend, her lover.
Yeah.
She seemed vaguely evil, right?
I thought she just was like a silly, crazy old lady.
I don't know. Maybe it's because she looks... She has a little bit of the look of the witch in the other movie.
In Spirited Away?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
I get that. That makes sense. Speaking of surprise witches, did anyone else think Ursula was gonna, like, reveal herself to be a witch? And just be like, I was just chilling here?
Yeah, Ursula's kind of just hanging out. You know?
Yeah,
I feel like... Yeah, this movie feels like... and again, we all like this movie. I don't want to pretend like... You know, we don't like
it. I don't want to lie to you.
It feels like it's a lot of characters where in regular movies would be setting up to have some sort of like, I was a part of it too. And then it was more just like, no, we're just hanging out. I paint, you know.
Sometimes in life you just meet chill people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good moral from this movie. Get a job. Yeah. And sometimes in life you meet chill people.
I mean... Maybe don't trust everybody who lives solo in a cabin in the woods, but...
Yeah.
See, I would say I hated the birds.
The birds that were very obviously people saying, ah.
Yeah. So I was not thrilled to go back to her cabin. Yeah. But it was kind of a middling point in the movie. And then I really fell in love with that part. In that speech that she gives about, like, finding your spirit, that really turned me.
And her paintings are gorgeous, but, like, that's Miyazaki or Ghibli artwork.
Mm-hmm.
I thought her painting was weird.
It was pretty, though.
I thought it was interesting that... The painting
of a woman whispering sweet nothings to a horse.
I liked how it was a different art style. mm-hmm. than Fair. Like the rest of the movie, you know. I thought that was interesting, and it surprised me when it showed up on screen. I was like, oh, that looks very different from everything else that we've seen.
Not like out of place, but kind of out of place in a good way.
Yeah. It was not you know, if it was out of place, it would be like a, I don't know, like a CG, like, you know, 3D modeled Microsoft desktop or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's just like a picture. It's just Kirsten Dunst's headshot. Yeah. She's like, that's very pretty.
Yeah.
Tiled Antonio Banderas or something.
Yeah. Oh, here's something interesting. They had to change the name of this in Spain. Because apparently Kiki is very phonetically similar to Kiki, but Q-U-I-Q-U-I in Castilian Spanish. And the slang expression echar un Kiki is to have intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed it to Nikki the Apprentice Witch.
I mean, a delivery service to have intercourse is a fascinating title for a movie. You know?
Yeah.
If they kept that. And I feel like it would lead to a lot of disappointed people who went to go see that movie. But they're like, that's not what that was about at all.
The movie stays the same.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah. That had half the title. Can I have half my money back, I guess?
But then you have to own up to that. You have to be like, well, I signed up for the delivery intercourse movie.
And all I got was the delivery movie.
That's not something you go and complain to the box office about. Where they're like, well, what did you think it was going to be? And you're like, never mind. Don't worry about it. I don't want to talk about it.
Farewell.
Did I say anything?
Yeah. Touché.
It also is a good little twist that the birthday girl it ends up being one of Tombo's friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that surprised me both times watching it, but I was like, oh, they do all live in this world.
Well, you were surprised because a lot of the other characters feel like they're just on their own. Like we said, they're just living their own life, and then...
Yeah.
You know?
Having a good time together. It's all calm. It's all very nice. They're learning lessons. Kiki's depressed, but she's learning things from Ursula about finding her passion. And she's hanging out the old ladies. It's all sweep. And then blimp crash. Very last second. Yep. Like, we
third
need
act
something.
Arrives. Yeah.
That, how many cells do you guys think were used in this movie?
Thousands.
I want a specific number.
Oh, God. I'm going to click away from the Wikipedia page so I don't look at it.
It's not on Wikipedia, so don't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
Just first number. Give me the first number that pops in your head. What are we thinking?
15,462.
Okay.
And this Luke? this is cells?
Cells. Just like
cell
animation. Animated. Yeah. Like each frame.
Pages.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to say 25,000.
Close without going over. Luke, 67,317.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That is insane.
Just in case you ever need that reminder of like how much work goes into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And don't bother Miyazaki if you see him. If he's working on something, it takes a while.
Yeah. If he's on the side of the road, let him be on the side of the road.
Leave him alone.
That's
he needs a break.
He needs a break from retiring and then coming back and then retiring. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. He's in that phase of where you have to stop for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's the Brett Favre of the animation world.
Yeah. Yes.
You don't always hear that either. Like, I feel like it's a limited number of movies where I've heard that specific spin of the speech where, like, you acknowledge that you hit a roadblock sometimes, mm-hmm. even doing the thing that you love.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes, and that's okay, and it's not any worse for it. You just have to breathe and do something else for a minute and you'll come back.
And also he's old.
He's very old.
Right.
He's 80.
I was going to say he's got to be in his 80s. Yeah. Let him take a break. If he finishes the movie, he finishes the movie. If he doesn't, like, he's put out a lot of other good stuff.
Okay. Yeah, still earned it.
Yeah, it's all fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, the newest thing is, we'll talk about that when we get to the criteria in a little bit.
Yeah.
It seems interesting, though.
You got me on the edge of my seat.
The ending, Tombo almost dies because of blimp accidents, but Kiki's able to fly again and save him with a lot of silence.
In a scene that looks like Apocalypse Now or World War Z, with everyone like clinging on to the helicopter as it's flying away.
And then Tombo is the sole person who didn't feel like letting go.
Why?
He loves flying, man.
I think he was so high up that at that point, if you drop off, like,
also
just done,
it's not gonna be fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's my guess.
But she saves him, and it's nice.
It was a little tense there for a minute with that broom.
Yeah, but it all works out. Everyone has a happy ending. Apparently Miyazaki made the credits go over, like, everyone's little conclusion where Tombo has built his bicycle plane and everyone's just having a good time. There's Kiki writes a letter to her parents finally. Apparently he did all that because he was like, I don't want people to leave and I don't want them to feel unsatisfied. So this is like a miniature sequel during the credits. And I think that's nice.
Does he have any sequels in the canon?
No, he got very close to doing Ponyo 2, but instead did The Wind Rises, which is apparently incredible.
I respect that.
Yeah.
The whole...
But apparently...
Really decide to do it.
Apparently he also is very big on Ponyo.
Huh.
It sounds like everybody is. That's my biggest takeaway from what we've recorded so far.
Maybe I gotta watch Ponyo. Is my day going to be the Snyder Cut, Kiki's Delivery Service, and then Ponyo before I go to bed? Is that going to happen, guys? It might.
I mean,
think it's possible.
If you watch Ponyo right before bedtime, it's just going to, like, flush everything negative away.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to hype it up, but
All right.
It's just pure and sweet. Do we have anything else we want to talk about with Kiki?
Did anyone else not understand that the man working in the bakery was her husband? Did anyone else think he was a very tall, built child?
You're talking about Brad Garrett? Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, the uncredited Brad Garrett.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I mean,
starts with an F.
His name is
Fukuo.
I mean, these movies do have a history with very big babies.
That's true.
So... You know, there's always a chance. I genuinely forgot about that big baby until you said that, and then I was like, oh my gosh, now it's all I'm thinking about.
Nah, that was a huge baby.
Only because, like, I was sitting there, and when she's like, oh, we gotta go to the hospital now, come on, I was like, oh my god, he was the husband the whole time. Yeah.
I also did think he was her grown son. And the husband just wasn't in the picture for some reason, but it does make sense.
I mean, I don't want to hop ahead, but Brad Garrett also in The Pacifier.
Yeah.
And also there's a scene in this movie where a lot of people are shouting about a pacifier because a kid forgot a pacifier, and that the lady's hey lady, you forgot your pacifier. And it was all, I got so excited. I, like, looked at my roommate and, like, yelped. I was like, whoa!
They said the thing!
Pacifier!
Perfect movie for this show!
That lady with the baby was far away, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't care about her baby.
Some wishful thinking to think she was going to hear her.
It was just a pacifier. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
She'll be fine. She'll be okay.
That baby had a full mohawk, too. Did the baby grow the mohawk, or did they cut a mohawk onto the baby's head? Wait, was another question I had. The baby had a mohawk.
I did not notice that either. I trust you, but I did not notice it.
All right, let's see if Kiki's Delivery Service baby can That's a mohawk.
That's a mohawk, right?
I can't. Here, I can share my screen if you want. It's a very tiny JPEG, but I can't deny that that's kind of a mohawk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are your two options. Well, like, here, it either grew that way or they shaved it.
Now, you say it's a mohawk. Here's what I want you to Google. You probably will know this without even Googling it, but that is also Robert De Niro's haircut in Rocky and Bullwinkle.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's the, it's the haircut.
That is exact.
Now, I only know this because this week, I mean, I know it because I've seen this. I've obviously seen Rocky and Bullwinkle.
I mean, but who hasn't spent most of their senior year of college flipping between Rocky and Bullwinkle and the Brady Bunch movies?
But
I saw it once. It's been a very long time.
That was me, baby.
It got pointed out to me this week that in 1999 at the Oscars, De Niro was presenting Ilia Kazan with like a Lifetime Achievement Oscar. And it's him and Scorsese up on stage, and De Niro fully has his fearless leader haircut from Rocky and Bullwinkle. And it's so funny to look at it and be like,
tweet.
Yes. And to be like, oh, that's what that is. Like, you look like a fool.
Oh, no.
Because of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
That's what you committed to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he was attached to the project.
He was. He's a producer. We're not here to talk about Rocky and Bullwinkle, though.
No. One day we'll get it, and I will have my day in the sun. But I can see Luke's already dreading the thought of that.
I don't know. I don't remember enough to know if I'm dreading it or if I would have a good time with it.
Luke, I'm going to... Here's the thing, and I hate, again, to make this about Rocky and Bullwinkle, but I'm going to read the cast of Rocky and Bullwinkle to you. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got June Foray and Keith Scott, voices of Rocky and Bullwinkle. June Foray, been the voice of Rocky forever. Human cast. Piper Perabo. Jason Alexander. Rene Russo. Robert De Niro. Randy Quaid. Paget Brewster. Janine Garofalo. Carl Reiner. Jonathan Winters. John Goodman. Keenan and Kel. James Rebhorn. David Alan Greer. Don Novello. Who else? Then there's some more at the bottom. Taraji P. Henson, Doug Jones, Whoopi Goldberg, Billy Crystal.
That's insane. That's Billy an Crystal insane list.
With a half second cameo,
yes,
where he's just carrying mattresses on his back,
yes,
and he's just going, "Someone buy my mattresses."
Also, yeah, Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg playing a judge named Judge Cameo.
She loves pizza. Turtles love pizza. She you does. Know, that's Whoopi.
She does.
Great. You're going to end your night with Ponyo. I might end my night with Rocky and Bullwinkle now.
Is it streaming somewhere?
I don't think so.
God,
might as well complete
you
the
can,
ad.
You can,
it was Amazon Prime for a while. But
I'll say this. I was looking. I was watching a lot of clips from it this week because of all this De Niro stuff. You can rent it places if you want to.
It's free on Peacock.
Yeah!
Everybody nice. Loves and remembers Peacock exists. Oh, okay, well, anything else about Kiki?
I think
we covered most of it, even if we didn't.
Yeah, I think we did it.
Yeah,
we
Osono did. Is a nice lady. She has a baby.
I'm sorry for being an agent of chaos, guys.
It's...
That
we
love
having
it.
Agents of chaos sure. on this. Okay. Jeff the dog is wonderful. He's an old dog. He helps out with a little plan.
Mm-hmm.
His score is tuba based. We love Jeff the dog.
In this movie, is that the dog's name is Jeff, or is that
yeah.
a different movie?
Okay. No, it's in
yes, this. That was the dog's name. All right. I did yeah. like the dog.
We were on topic this time.
All right. I didn't know. It could have been in the Rocky and Bullwinkle.
That's true.
I have no thoughts on the dog. I'm going to be totally neutral on the dog.
I just had on, I don't know, there was an episode we did a while back. I had on the other day while I was doing something, and it ends with Connor and our guest get really on, it was Ready Player 2.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that was a recent
yeah.
one.
And that's what that was reminding me of. It's another one that I was like, just a voyeur for.
Yeah.
But now, just...
Yeah, I've not read Ready Player 2. Is it out? Did it come out?
Yeah, it came out November. It came out when, yeah, I think in November. I was still working in a liquor store and was like able to listen to podcasts while I did everything.
Yeah.
So I bought the audiobook and listened to it at work and spent most of the work, you know, cringing because Will Wheaton was describing graphic VR sex to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that tracks.
What else could you ask for?
A lot. A lot of different things. I could ask if there's a set of criteria that makes this better or worse than the pacifier.
The one that we talk about every episode, even.
That's true. Kind of the basis of the show.
If we were on a roll there, we could start with the soundtrack of this movie.
Sure.
What did you guys think of the soundtrack?
Nice.
It was nice. It was not as aggressive as the pacifier. And, you know, I should be clear. I have the pacifier on DVD. I want to be clear. I owned it before this. I had not watched it in a very long time. It is in 4:3. It did not take up my entire screen.
Just like the Snyder Cut.
Just honestly, just like the Snyder Cut. Yeah, very nice soundtrack on Kiki. Very aggressively 2005 soundtrack on the pacifier.
Yep.
Not a bad thing necessarily, but it feels more dated than Kiki's soundtrack does.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
The Kiki soundtrack just feels like something I could play to lull, like, a kid to sleep.
Sure.
I was that kid earlier tonight, even.
Yeah. There you go. But it's very nice. It's very hard to compare it to Good Charlotte's The Anthem. But, like...
But that's what we do here.
Yeah. Now, here's a question. As part of the soundtrack, do you count the Peter Panda Dance song?
It's on yes there, no. I think.
You're talking about the physical release of the soundtrack, not just any music that is in the movie.
I'm not... I mean, it can count for it. Usually we don't, but...
What we've discovered through this is that there's no physical release of the soundtrack.
Sure.
So I think that makes any music in the movie fair game.
16 going on 17. It's in there.
Yeah.
It actually does have a credit block of written by Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Yeah.
Score to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Right.
Does the Peter Panda Dance have a credit block? Probably not.
On IMDb, it looks like it does not, but Sound Off parentheses Duckworth Chant has one.
Cool.
And John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, uncredited but performed by the Fireflies.
I'm comfortable including the Peter Panda dance.
It can work.
Of course. Well, I mean, if you include the Peter Panda dance, then no, Kiki's soundtrack is not better than the pacifier.
That's the mm-hmm. thing that puts it over the top.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say it's like the best part of the movie.
The Peter Panda dance?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say this. It's such a satisfying reveal mm-hmm. at the end. I also want to say this about the pacifier. I loved the pacifier when I saw it. I mean, clearly, I still have the freaking DVD.
Yeah.
It's moved like 6 times with me. And it's such a great reveal at the end. Like, you're like, I was so excited. I was just like, even watching it yesterday, you know, feelings about the movie now notwithstanding. It still works. It still works. And I think, and if you include all of Sound of Music, that automatically bumps that soundtrack up.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a great reveal in a very strange movie that...
Yes.
Not sure if it earns the reveal, but it works.
Yes. Yes.
That's good.
Yes. Part of this show was just like, what if we just got more people to watch The Pacifier because of how weird it is?
Is it streaming anywhere? I didn't even look.
HBO Max.
Sure. Max has got everything, man.
It was Disney Plus for a while. Like, when we started the show, it was Disney Plus, and then it migrated for some reason.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, it's not way anymore, because I have gone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was on Netflix at some point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I currently, when we started, I bought it on the PlayStation Store for $15. Why they don't did you sell movies on there anymore?
Why did you spend that much money?
It was just what was in front of me.
Oh no. Oh no.
But now I own it.
Now here's a question, because I'm not sure. You guys don't rewatch this every week.
Not every week, no. I did rewatch it maybe 7 episodes ago. So okay. Like in January, just to be like, we recorded a bunch of these. Sure. I need a little bit of a refresher.
Yeah.
And eventually we will watch it with Vin Diesel himself.
You gotta. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the goal.
I get it. I mean, that's, I think
we, yeah, shut this whole thing down.
I imagine that you could at least get Max Thoreau, who I think is the older son. I'm just looking at the credits block right now. I feel like you could at least get him.
We could get Seth and talk about how he never denies the fact that he's a Nazi.
Yeah, we could ask weird. Him about that.
Okay, I mean, now you've opened the floodgates. Well, yeah. I'll wait. If we're gonna
right.
it comes up at the end of the criteria.
Okay, great. All right. Great.
We'll get down there then.
Okay.
Next up is the Dieselometer. I think we all probably agree that the main character of this movie is Kiki. Yeah. Where do you guys have her on the Vin Dieselometer?
The comparison of Vin Diesel performances based on charm and ability?
On screen and off.
Yeah, I know what the Dieselometer is, guys.
It's very well known. I would give this to Shane Wolf. He and Kiki are both entering a new world, something they're unfamiliar with. They're staying with people they don't know. They both have their issues with fitting in, but they use what's special about them. Kiki with her flying for her delivery service, Shane Wolf with his being a Navy SEAL to discipline children, to their advantage, and they end up kind of having a found family at the end.
Okay. I got one for you.
Oh boy.
I would compare Kiki to, in Vin's early life, post-teenage, this is as a younger man, post-18, no fame yet, he worked as a bouncer, and that's sort of semi-known. What I didn't know until I was digging earlier is that a young Vin Diesel was very interested in breakdancing.
Oh, he sure.
Loved breakdancing. Mm-hmm. Talked all about it. He's been interviewed about, he's brought that up in interviews, and he's talked about it, and he says he maintains that he took the job as a bouncer because they would let him dance for free in the club.
I'd see how that compares.
And that is where this movie sits on the Dieselometer for me.
Here's what I'm gonna say. I think Kiki's kind of a Groot. Because, and I had a good reason in my head, and now I'm trying to remember what it was. Just the you know, wide-eyed nature, looking at big new worlds in front of them, with a look of, you know, excitement. And nervousness sometimes when, you know, you got baby Groot, you know, you never know what baby Groot's going to get up to. A little bit of a troublemaker sometimes, but also, you know, able to save the day when it counts. That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
That's great.
I feel like Groot comes up a lot on here.
Yeah, okay. Groot's a very popular choice.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I'm going to save this to the end. I just remembered something, and I want to hold on to it.
Okay. All right. Then next up, we'll say who was the Brad Garrett of the film, the wacky, memorable side character. This one, I feel like, I think there's two answers here, because I don't think that Brad Garrett is playing the Brad Garrett in this movie, but by default, he is Brad Garrett.
Yeah,
it's a tough little mix, because I do agree. I don't think he's the most memorable side character out of all of them, but like it's him.
Yeah, I mean it's him or Hartman, right?
I gave it to Gigi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even Gigi's a bigger part than,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Like, Gigi's almost, not a co-lead, but, like, clearly he's number two in that movie.
Yeah, he's the first two acts.
Whereas Garrett's, like, you know, six or seven in Pacifier, I feel like.
Right. I gave it to the young boy. What's his name?
Tombo.
I'm going to stick with Gigi. I'm going to stick with Gigi.
Yeah.
I think I gave Phil Hartman the Jingle All the Way Brad Garrett Award, so I'm going to give it to him again with this.
All right.
Do you guys have a favorite Phil Hartman line in Jingle All the Way? Or line reading? Because I do.
Well, what is it?
It's when he's on the phone with Howard. Howard calls, I can't remember what Rita Wilson's name is in Jingle All the Way. But he's like, Phil Hartman's in the kitchen and Rita Wilson's in the shower and Phil Hartman eats the cookie and he goes, oh, these cookies. It's the funniest.
Yeah.
It's the funniest line reading anyone has ever had.
I think that's the one I was thinking of, but I forgot like the exact wording of it.
Yeah. It's great.
It's fantastic.
Right. Next up, what did the director of this movie go on to do?
So this is directed by Hayao Miyazaki. He's one of the most legendary names in animation, whether it's in Japan or in America. He's gone on to do, right after this, was Porco Rosso, a movie about a pig who flies a plane. He's got Princess Mononoke, Spirited Away, Howl's Moving Castle, the aforementioned Ponyo, The Wind Rises. And his latest thing is called How Do You Live? And it's apparently just going to be, like, the movie Boyhood. Like, it's just a teenage boy growing up into an adult.
Hmm.
Okay. It's in production. It's based off a novel. It was supposed to come out in time for the Tokyo Olympics. And now they're saying 2022 or 2023, maybe.
Yeah, but did he ever direct anything on the same level as Zac Efron's Pool Party in 2009? Because that's what Adam Shankman directed.
Yeah. I mean, Adam Shankman is just, his career. We went over it in a recent episode that I don't think has come out yet. But, like, he's got such a fun list.
A wild career.
He's got the Hairspray.
Yeah.
Bedtime Stories within a year of each other.
Yeah.
Those came out within a year of each other.
07 and 08.
That's crazy, because Bedtime Stories feels like it's so much more recent than Hairspray.
It does.
Yeah.
I think it's because Hairspray is so good, at least. I really like it. Hairspray, it feels like, I don't want to say legendary, but it feels like it's been around forever.
I'm trying to count how many Adam Shankman movies I have watched during quarantine. It's 3, I think.
Okay.
Because I've watched Rock of Ages. No, well, you know what? It might be 4, because I've watched Bedtime Stories 2 times. And then I've watched The Pacifier.
Nice.
Now, where do you sit on Bedtime Stories? Are you a fan or not a fan?
Well, some friends of mine and I were watching all the Adam Sandler movies we could, because there was like a bunch that I just had never seen. So we'd watch them over Zoom. You know, we like sync them up at the same time and stuff. But before that, it came up in my Disney Plus watch, so I'd already watched it. So then it was like 3 weeks later, I'm like, okay, I guess we're watching Bedtime Stories one more time. I think it's fine. I think it's fun, I guess. It's got a good cast. I don't think I'll ever watch it again, though, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think it lives in that section of Adam Sandler movies where the character is starting to get tired and he starts missing more. But that one, I thought it's more of a middle ground.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not, I like a lot of the dumb Adam Sandler movies and I'm like fine with it. Yeah. Like, yep. I'm very pro Sandy Wexler. I thought it was a lot of fun, all that kind of stuff.
I forgot yeah. Sandy Wexler existed.
Sandy Wexler.
I had fun with it.
Sandy Wexler, I've watched 2 or 3 times during quarantine, and that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, there's no problem with it.
But, like, where else are you going to see Richard Griffiths and Adam Sandler in a movie together? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's got a lot of weird people where it's like, Jonathan Pryce is in this? Jonathan Pryce and Nick Swardson? Okay, yeah, I guess.
You know, the match made in heaven.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's not many Jonathan Pryce Carmen Electra movies out there. You know?
Not enough.
And this is definitely one of them.
All right. Next up we have, is there anything as memorable in this movie as the Peter Panda dance?
Tombo style. Them some good shirts.
All right. All right.
Yeah, I mean, here's the problem. I feel like I've seen The Pacifier so many times over the years. I've probably seen this movie, realistically, 8 or 9 times, maybe?
Yeah.
Which, like, for someone who does not do a podcast about it, it feels ridiculous to have seen it that many times. And it's so funny because you guys asked, you did not ask if I was a fan of The Pacifier, and lo and behold, here we are.
We usually don't. We had someone on who his first thing to us was there's a special place in movie hell for making him watch it. So, like, not everyone who comes on is a fan, so it's yeah. fun to see where they land on the spectrum.
Yeah, it's I don't know if there's anything as memorable in Kiki. I think I will remember enjoying Kiki, but I don't know if there are specific moments that I will think back on. Besides maybe that Zeppelin going down, you know? I feel like that's the big moment for right. me. But it doesn't get the same amount of glee and elation as him singing the Peter Panda dance while avoiding right. fire and you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
While avoiding yeah. big CGI spikes.
I feel like I'm going to get canceled for this. I feel like people are just going to get real mad at this.
They're going to come for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to bring in new people and they'll yeah. be like, why are we here? Yeah.
I was on a podcast a few weeks ago and we were doing like a draft of all the George Lucas movies. And I ranked THX-1138 last because I was like, I don't like this movie and I don't care who knows it. And I've been getting hate from that, but I feel like that this is next level.
Really?
Yeah, people are like, what are you talking about? It's a great, it's his first movie.
There's THX heads out there?
Oh my God, the THX-1138. Heads, I don't know what you would call it, something like yeah. that.
Yeah, it doesn't fit into a name.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot, but they're out there. But I feel like Miyazaki heads.
Enough.
Yeah, I feel like oh. Miyazaki heads are another breed. Like it's like another, it's next level. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
Well, we're getting like we will see what happens.
Notes in the mail, but they're gonna be really well.
Yes. Yeah.
Or drawn.
Yeah.
I have like a more serious answer, and then yeah. one that I think is, falls into the category of total bullshit.
Yeah.
The more serious answer is that speech about you fall off chasing your dream sometimes, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I think that I will remember that for a while. And then my other answer that I had written down first before we were talking was there's like a weird amount of romantic chemistry between the character that Brad Garrett is playing and the cat at first.
Yeah. I can't say you're wrong, because, yeah.
It's weird, right?
It's weird that Gigi's so impressed by him. And, like, yep. he's giving him little flirty winks.
Yep.
I get yeah. that.
I mean, I would have been fine with it, you know?
It's a magical world.
Yeah.
Who cares? Let him down.
There's no rules here.
Yeah.
Did you like it as a kid? Would you have liked it as a kid?
Didn't see it as a kid. Probably wouldn't have liked it as a kid.
I think I would have. I think I don't know. Depending. I might have just like fallen asleep to it and found it kind of nice. I don't know how child me felt about anime.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was cool with Pokemon, but like. Yeah. Once yeah. I got to middle school, my friends were like, oh my god, gotta check out Naruto and Bleach and all this. And I was yeah. like, I don't know what's happening.
That was sort of how I am, too. It's just a, never an anime kid. Never even, like, a Dragon Ball Z kid or anything like that. Like, I wasn't even really a Pokemon kid, honestly. And I think that's why I never really gravitated towards these movies, was the style just didn't really grab me. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So I was a Yu-Gi-Oh! Kid, but then that ended, and the same as you guys are saying, I didn't really ever get into any of the rest of it. I'm still not really super into anime. But I did like Spirited Away as a kid, and I think that I would have liked this one.
Okay.
Cool. Good.
And now, last but not least, the one that you've been waiting for. Is there anything as batshit insane as the Sound of Music subplot in The Pacifier? Which, in case you don't remember, is a short subplot that comes in about halfway through the movie, where the oldest boy that Vin Diesel is watching, Seth, is called into the principal's office because they found a Nazi armband in his locker, and his hair is bleach blonde, and he's skipping wrestling practice. And they ask him about it, and he doesn't say no. He kind of huffs and runs away. So Vin Diesel commandeers a child's bike and chases him to a location that, on the outside, seems kind of like a Nazi meetup. And then they get inside, and it's not really a Nazi meetup. It's he's just playing Rolf in a community theater production of The Sound of Music, like a 40-year-old Liesel. Vin Diesel later goes on to direct that production and cast Brad Garrett. Is there anything as batshit insane in Kiki's Delivery Service as that?
I mean, the only thing that could possibly be as batshit insane is if, like, I mean, the only equivalent here would be if Fukuo dressed up as a nun at the end of the movie, you know?
Yeah.
It's so bizarre. Why are all those, it doesn't seem like they're doing like a full costume rehearsal when you see it. When Scott Thompson, who's playing the director, quits, they're doing like a rehearsal, but it's not a full costume rehearsal. Yet multiple people in the theater who are apparently in the show and just watching are wearing their either full Nazi regalia or their Nazi armbands. And it's so bizarre. It's like, take those off if you're not on stage. Yeah, that is it's a wild subplot. I don't understand why he doesn't just say, I'm doing this. Like, I get that he's embarrassed and he, like, doesn't want to, like, necessarily be a part of it. But then it's also kind of bizarre. When I was watching it, I first thought it was a school production. That was how I remembered it. And I was like, why does the principal and the vice principal not know that this is going on at their school? Like, I couldn't remember. But it's still just so, like, how did he get involved in this, like, community theater production? They never really...
With no parental signature. No,
yeah,
no,
it's very...
Yeah, he just does it. It's
very, very weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's also strange that he feels more comfortable with them just thinking he's a Nazi than telling them he's doing community theater. That's a fascinating take that they want us to believe.
Yeah,
very strange. I think I would give it to it's strange that this is like alternate World War One and Two never happened. Yeah. Like, that's a detail that we don't need, and you can't really mention see it in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing that you can except for the fact that like Zeppelins are still around. That's like the only thing that like
Miyazaki's just weird. Like at his desk, and he's like, how do I fit this in?
Yeah, it's definitely,
I guess that's probably why the kid had, when he went to take the bicycle out of his garage, there was a Model T in there.
Yeah. It's definitely like a Dumbledore is gay detail, where it's like, but you didn't say this in the book, so it like doesn't matter. Like, why are you saying this now? Yeah. It's such a weird, bizarre detail that I don't know.
Yeah, this is where I had the broom physics. The broom magic.
The broom.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's everybody's final ranking and rating?
So, I gave this 6 pancakes out of 6. I think it's a little bit better than The Pacifier, because it's nice, it's calming, it's sweet.
Alright. I give it 2 loaves of bread and a fish cake. I don't think it's better, but I did enjoy it.
I'm going to give this 4 Zeppelins. Oh, God. Here's the crazy thing. I knew I was coming on here, and I didn't form, I didn't come up with, like, my take on it. Because watching The Pacifier again, and I know this is probably not your guys' stance, so I'm not going to loop you in with this. I was disappointed. It did not hold up the way I wanted it to.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, because I've made my case that I'm like, I was all for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of weird, the duck, you know, there's a lot of weird stuff going on in it. I wanted more Carol Kane, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I also didn't, I'm not going to go rewatch Kiki anytime soon. So,
by default,
I'm going to give The Pacifier 5 Zeppelins.
All right. just gets that one little rewatchable Zeppelin.
Yeah. Yeah.
You heard it here, folks.
Yeah.
Pacifier's 5 Zeppelins.
Pacifier's 5 Zeppelins.
Put that on the Blu-ray cover.
Yeah. Oh, you mean like the quotes on the back of this, which are from Jim Svejda from KNX and CBS Radio. Vin Diesel's best movie ever.
Wow.
That's a quote on the back of here. Also, they're really plugging Bringing Down the House, which is a movie that didn't do that well, and nobody really liked it.
I don't think did better than The Pacifier.
But they mention it twice on this DVD cover that Adam Shankman directed Bringing Down the House.
I feel like, is that DVD in my closet or in my basement?
That's the one with Tommy Lee Jones.
No. Bringing Down the House. No.
Steve Martin and Queen Latifah.
And Eugene Levy, baby. And I believe, let me get the Eugene Levy quote. Hang on 1 second.
You got me straight tripping, boo.
You got me straight tripping, boo. That's it. That's it. Yep.
I did see that movie once. I had Tommy Lee Jones and Steve Martin confused.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Interesting pair to get mixed up.
But Tommy Lee Jones has another house movie. Tommy Lee Jones has the one where he's like a sheriff. And there's like a bunch of cheerleaders.
This is what it is. This is the thing. It's I'm thinking called, of movie covers, probably.
Hang on. It's called Man of the House. It's from 2009.
Ah, that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones, Ann Archer, famous Scientologist, Christina Milian, and Arlie, Cedric the Entertainer. Yeah. Good cast. Paget Brewster, again, star of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
She's just popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
Bringing it back to Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah.
All right. And with that third, fourth, fifth Rocky Bullwinkle reference, that wraps up Kiki's Delivery Service. Next up, our guest has picked our next movie.
Yeah.
And he's going to give us some hints. He's going to make us guess what it is. It's time for the Coming Attractions game.
You should really write like a little musical jingle for that.
Oh, I didn't know if you were going to put one in. Or,
no, we don't have one.
I was waiting.
Oh, okay, it just great. Goes.
Great. This movie takes place partially in Chicago.
Okay.
This movie involves a biplane. This movie involves the FBI.
Did we mention an actor who's in it in this episode
yes.
already?
Yes.
Okay.
Are there geese in it?
Are there geese in it? I don't think so, but I don't want to.
Then that's not this movie.
Okay. I'll say this. John Polito's in it, who plays the private eye in Big Lebowski, and he's DeVito's brother on It's Always Sunny.
Is it a two-word title?
No.
Darn. Okay.
The song Dreamer by Supertramp is on the soundtrack.
Oh man, this is stumping me.
This movie, yeah.
Which is new. I'm usually not good at this game.
Yeah.
I usually get it.
This movie made a worldwide gross of $35,134,820.
Oh, well, with that, obviously.
Roger Ebert gave it 3 out of 4 stars. It has a 43 on Rotten Tomatoes.
I can't think of one.
Someone was nominated for Worst Supporting Actress by the Razzies, but also Best Supporting Actress by the Saturn Awards. Same person. This movie was released on Blu-ray May 15th, 2018.
When was it released in theaters, though?
Do you really want to know? You want to know the date?
That might help.
June 30th, 2000.
Oh, that's
a big gap.
Too early for Sky Captain.
This movie was written... Oh, this is a big one. This movie was written by Kenneth Lonergan.
Now it's Chicago, the city. It's not like
it does not take place at a concert.
Of Illinois.
Does not take place at a concert for the band Chicago. Yes, no, it is in the city.
Yeah, no.
This music has this movie has music by Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Oh man, I give up. I don't know about you, Luke. I feel like it's like movie, itching at the back of my brain, but I can't.
This movie had a budget of $76 million.
I'm going to give, too.
This movie was produced by Robert De Niro, and it is called The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh, God damn it. There is a bullwinkle.
I did not know this movie.
We didn't get it.
I'm going to say this. Did not know this movie was written by Kenneth Lonergan until I read it out loud.
There's a reason I was reaching for all those pieces. I was like, something's not clicking. God damn it.
That was not the movie I came in with, but it is the movie that I chose midway.
The movie you left with?
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, well.
For whatever reason, in the beginning, I was really on Fly Away Home. I was briefly stuck on Secondhand Lions.
Good movie. Biplane.
Yeah.
For some reason, when I asked about the have we already talked about the actor and you said yes, I was like, oh, Tommy Lee Jones, it's The Fugitive. It has to be The Fugitive.
It's Chicago.
The Fugitive.
Yeah. You were like, have we talked about any actor in this movie? And I'm like, yeah, we talked about almost all of them.
All of them.
You bet.
And I was planning on making that a joke guess first.
The movie I was going to give you was It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, because I wanted you guys to have
That's
to watch a long
one.
Movie, or it was going to be the Snyder Cut, and then you said you already were doing an episode, so.
I'm so much happier with Rocky and Bullwinkle, though.
Now, the thing that I wanted to show you guys, it's more of a visual gag, but I wanted to show you anyway. Who's that? It's Lil Patrick.
And Vin.
Me and Vin hanging out. And if you watch, man, we both try to shake each other's hands and we both miss.
Amazing.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. Closest guess we've had
we'll
to brush with greatness.
There you go.
Yeah, I'll have to incorporate that video into your guest spotlight for sure. Yeah.
Great.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on, Patrick.
Thank you guys for having me.
It's been our episode. Do you want to tell everyone about George Lucas Talk Show? You want to plug where they can find you on the internet?
Yeah. People can find me on the internet on at Patrick Kottners, PatrickCottnoir. I am trying to get more followers than the canceled NBC sitcom 1600 Penn. It's been off the air for like 10 years. They don't need followers. I need followers. You know what I mean? So come help out there. And you can also watch the George Lucas Talk Show, which is a show I produce and am now a co-host with comedian Connor Ratliff from Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and Search Party and his podcast Dead Eyes, and Griffin Newman from Blank Check and The Tick, where Connor pretends to be George Lucas and they interview real guests as themselves. We've had Whoopi Goldberg, we've had Amy Mann, John Hamm, Darcy Carden, Jason Mantzoukas, so many people. You can go through and watch. I'm sure you will find a guest that you like. All the past episodes are on YouTube. You can go check that out. But every Sunday, 8 p.m. on planetscum.live. It's Chris Gethard's Twitch channel, and you can watch it there.
And I will say I've jumped in on a few Sunday nights, and it is an absolute blast. It's just a nice, positive, really funny time. So check it out.
Thank you.
Sounds great.
Appreciate it.
I'll be checking it out.
Yeah.
And yeah, as for us, you can follow us anywhere at No Highway Pod. That's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. There's the No Highway Option YouTube channel. Do I say anything else before we move over to chicken? I don't know why I forgot how the show works.
It is, yeah, it is chicken time. That's your next thing.
It's your thing, but go ahead.
It is. We don't currently have a delivery service, but if we did have a delivery service, this is something that we would use once we locate it. Because as you know, you've been listening, you know we've been searching for our Ark of the Covenant, kind of. There's a restaurant, or there used to be a restaurant, in Amherst, Massachusetts, called the Rafters Bar and Grill. They've since closed, but not from our hearts, especially Connor's. And they used to make a chicken wing sauce called Yukon Gold that we just really miss. And so if you can put us in touch with the old owners of that establishment, we're just desperately trying to recreate that. Use our tip line.
Yep, we've got the Highway Patrol tip line. It's a phone number you can call, and you can leave a message if you want to give Luke the chicken recipe, because it's a Luke thing, it's not a me thing, I've never been there. Or if you want to leave a movie request, if you want to yell at us for not liking a movie you liked, if we missed something while talking about Kiki, if you want to leave something for Rocky and Bullwinkle, whatever you want, we'll end up playing it on the air. It's 301-941-7493. Or if you're better at remembering words than numbers, it's 301-941-SIZE.
All right.
And, of course, thank you to Ian C. Weber for composing our theme song. What does the C stand for this week, Luke?
Cataract.
All right. Ian Cataract Weber, you can follow the link in our show description to hear all of Ian's cool stuff.
That's all of it. Anybody have anything else?
No, thanks for having me, guys. This was fun.
All right. Yeah, thank you for coming on.
Yeah. And for No Highway Option, I've been Luke.
And I've been Connor.
And I've been Patrick.
These have been all of our opinions. And if you didn't agree with us, that's too bad. Because it's our way.
No highway option.